Ladies and gentlemen, once again, and for the first time in a long time, to a brand new episode of Nerds on the Rocks. Joining me this week, we have Dan.
Hello.
And we have Sam.
How's it going?
And we have Earl, because everybody always points out I never actually introduce myself. So
true.
Because it's always weird to introduce yourself.
Nice.
We have Earl.
Hello!
It's like you're wearing, like, a Muppet or something.
It's time to start the music. Okay, so, it's been a while since we've been here, and as the old expression goes, life happens. We've had moves, we've had new jobs, we've had school, we've had trips, we've had this and we've had that.
We've had love and we've had life, we've had life and we've had death.
We've had Canada Day, we've had Memorial Day, we've had the 4th of July coming up, had E3,
We've had the past, we've had the present, we're about to have the future. Or maybe we've already had it, tune in.
We're about to have the future. We've had a ton of great movies, some decent games, and all that jazz. But we're back, I'm not going to say full time, who knows what the future holds, but we're here now. We're going to record this episode. What are we going to talk about this week? What are we going to return with? And honestly, because the last few have been, we've kind of gone really heavy into movies and video games because that's what we know. I wanted to avoid that for the comeback show. I think partially because in the interim we've also had an entire Marvel Cinematic Universe recap show replacing the show for a while, and we still do the Duel Within Gaming podcast. So we wanted to have a show that came back and talked about us, and we decided to talk about stuff we collect and, you know, something that we consider like a prized possession. And this all started because, and I can't remember what the hell it was now, Sam had something that he collected that was really strange.
I did. I don't remember what we're talking about now. Like, if you scroll back far enough in the Skype conversation, I think I could find it. But
while he looks for it, Dan has a bunch. We'll kick off with the one that we're probably going to spend the least amount of time on, because we've actually done an entire episode dedicated to Dan.
Well, we've done an entire essay.
We've done an entire episode dedicated to your collection.
Like, isn't it?
It's not that extravagant. No, actually, my collection is extravagant, but talking about it is not.
So are you not going to talk about it?
I mean, how much do you want? What do you want me to say about it? Because honestly, it's not that extravagant to talk about. I collect a lot of Legos. I used to do work within Lego, and so I got a pretty decent discount, got a lot of exclusive sets. Now I know a lot of people in influential places. Probably my most... I wouldn't say it's maybe my most prized one currently. I have a set called the Lego House, which is a set that's like a reconstruction of this building they're building in Billund, Denmark, which is where the Lego headquarters is. They're only giving out this set in the town in which the house is being built because the construction is like really disrupting the people. So they're doing this as like a service to them, saying, hey, you can buy this set kind of thing, and like we'll also tone down the construction, but you
so
can only get
as a way of appeasing them. They sell
charge
them.
Them.
Yeah,
that was
like
cool.
It's like a good faith thing. It's like, hey, you guys can have. They do this all the time in Denmark. They had this one set for a couple months where it's like if you went to the airport, you could buy this set. You didn't have to like live there. You just had to fly inbound to Denmark, and you could get the set that was of the Denmark airport. They just do this stuff all the time because it's their home country. So that's one of my most prized sets because it's kind of rare and only people from that area have it.
And just to kind of compete you derail my own topic about not talking about video games too much, Your thoughts on Lego Dimensions?
I'll have to see when it actually comes out. I've thought very different things about it as it's been happening, because I thought that it was different things as I was reading more and more news about it. Now that I know what it is, it'll have to come out, and I'll have to see the sales to see if it's actually good or not. I think they'll do it well, though.
So there's no like way I can Google this to see what you're talking about?
Oh, Lego Dimensions is the Lego Toys to Life game.
Yeah.
So Skyland is in Disney Infinity.
There's a buildable aspect to it, the small buildable aspect.
That's right. My friend was super obsessed with that. Was complaining already, because he has to spend a whole bunch of money next fall between that and Skylanders and Amiibos, but he's one of those people.
It's kind of similar to the thing with like all of the collectibles. Like, you see it as like you can see the malicious tendencies of it, and you hope that they won't, but they will, but they won't as badly as you think. Like, for Amiibos, the malicious tendency would be, okay, we'll only have exclusives at retailers, or we'll only have exclusive versions of them. They only dabbled in that, like, with the Golden and Silver Mario, or with certain exclusives at, like, different retailers. This one, you can very clearly see that with LEGO. Oh, what if, you know, like, they just release an exclusive LEGO you can only get through that? I'm sure they will, but it probably won't be that much.
Okay, so...
Well,
go ahead.
What I'm most interested about with this one is the thing. I mean, I collect Amiibos, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want to get into Disney Infinity, but the Disney Infinity thing was that each character had their own preset universe.
Yeah.
So you couldn't cross over like Pixar with Pirates of the Caribbean. Or you couldn't cross over.
It's within its own franchise, so Monsters University within Pixar. Can't cross over with Toy Story.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think the extreme example was you couldn't use Spider-Man in the Avengers set.
Yeah.
You could use him in the Guardians of the Galaxy set.
Yeah, I think so.
And
there's
it was
weird exceptions. Like, there's two Wreck-It Ralph figures, but there's no playset for them. So they can go in their own thing, sort of. And same with, like, Phineas from Phineas and Ferb. And there's, like, a Sorcerer Mickey that does the same thing. Like, if it's a one-off, it's kind of exempt from all that stuff.
Yeah, but with Lego Dimensions, it seems like anything's a go.
Yeah.
You can have, they show, like, Batman and Middle-Earth, sort of Batmobile, and the DeLorean, and stuff like that. And I think what's also cool about that, and I was actually surprised by this, is that how you customize your Lego is not necessarily the characters, but the vehicles is how they appear in-game.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, because at first I thought that was just, oh, it's a neat thing that you can build it, but I assume it's just going to make whatever you build is going to make like the normal Batmobile. But no, it's like you build it, and it's going to have that cannon on top if you want it, or it's going to be very, you know, it's going to be very chic and simmed down.
Yeah.
Granted, I think it's not every piece. There's certain pieces that they will recognize, which makes sense, but it is cool that it is somewhat reflected in the game.
I want to talk briefly about LEGO in like this one sense of collecting it also. They do these things every about 3 to 4 months where they have series minifig. It's blind bag and little baggies where there's like 16 minifigs per series, and they're only available for about 3 to 4 months of the year. The only exception is if they're like at secondhand toy shops and they just don't run out of them, they'll have extras. But they're a very highly coveted collector's item because they're only around for like a quarter of the year, and there's 16 of them. You can feel around the bag to feel what's inside of it, which makes it actually easier unless you are only going to order online. So it's not that bad to collect them, and they're only like $3 to $4, depending on where you go. So it's really not that bad a deal, but almost all of them are exclusive characters or have some exclusive pieces. Like, they had a Pizza Man with a pizza box, or like a Jester with like a Ace of Spades card that was exclusive to him, stuff like that. So they're kind of like fun and neat things that you wouldn't find in any normal set. The reason I mention this is because for Series 10, for the anniversary, like the 10th one, they had this figure called Mr. Gold. And anyone who knows anything about LEGO knows Mr. Gold, because Mr. Gold, there was only 5,000 of them made in the entire world. And they were so coveted that they went for somewhere around $1,000 to $10,000, depending on who you were talking to or where you were getting them from. And LEGO minifigure collectors, of which I know a lot of, hated Mr. Gold because it really diminished and destroyed the idea of LEGO, where it's like LEGO does not have any exclusives because they're so widely available to people. I feel that fear somewhat in LEGO Dimensions, because they already do some other stuff with that, like with their San Diego Comic-Con figures, in which they have like two figures from like Lord of the Rings or Marvel at Comic-Con, and they're only available to 50 random guests, so you can't even go and ask for one if you're a Lego fan. And they always sell for upwards of $100 to $400.
Mr. Gold looks like he's trying to eat my children.
Yeah, he's a scary figure.
He's pretty,
like, there's nothing special about him. He's just gold. he's like a got a gold shine to him. And to combat backlash, they released this gold minifigure, like a keychain thing. It was like, oh, wow, a keychain that's gold, like whatever. And nobody cared, but it sort of appeased some kids. So, like, there's some malicious possibility for LEGO Dimensions. Like, for example, LEGO Dimensions has a Scooby-Doo playset, and right around the time LEGO Dimensions is gonna release, there will be a Scooby-Doo theme with about 6 sets from Scooby-Doo. As far as I'm aware, all of the minifigures from Dimensions are the same as from the sets. So you could theoretically go buy, like, the piece, and if you lost your Scooby-Doo from Dimensions, take your Scooby-Doo from your actual set that you play with and replace it, which is fine. But I'm sure they'll do stuff like, in the future, they'll have, like, using Scooby-Doo as an example, like, striped Scooby-Doo, which is different and has different powers, or stuff like that. Kind of like the gold and silver Mario. I'm not a huge fan of that. I'm sure they'll do it, just because it's like a no-brainer.
So what's...
I mean,
I was gonna say, so what's with the keychains when you're collecting Lego figures? Because I remember a while ago, I was like, hey, I want a Boba Fett Lego figure. That'd be kind of cool. And every time I look it up, it's all the keychains instead of actual figures. So why do they sell those keychains, and is that different?
There's a little, like, secret within Lego. Basically, everybody loves the minifigures, and people always are like, hey, can we buy, like, just Darth Vader, like, on its own? And we're always like, no. And the reason is because there's an intense... kind of like lobbying against them by the big brand name action figures companies, because like Mattel and all the other action figure, like big toy name companies, own the rights to action figures of these licensed characters. So Lego cannot sell them because Lego minifigures are considered an action figure.
Hmm.
So to combat that, you'll have the figures in a set, which people always complain about, because like Darth Vader's always in the huge sets, or always in the sets that nobody cares about. Or like Boba Fett is only in a set every once in a while because he's from very specific scenes. Like Jango Fett was like the first LEGO minifigure last year in like 14 years that Jango Fett's appeared in, for an example. But like stuff like that. So to combat that, they'll do keychains, which have a little like metal spoke through the head, and that's the only thing different about them. They're pre-constructed. So you could melt off the steel thing and kind of cover it up with plastic, or you could like lop it off with some pliers. That's one way to combat it. They also sell Lego magnets, which do the same thing for like Iron Man, because everyone wanted just Iron Man, not the Iron Man sets, so they had them on magnets. You can lop off the magnet off the back, but again, pre-constructed. So it's really just because all of the action figure companies are like, hey, you're an action figure, even though you're a building toy.
That's weird, but I feel like I learned something.
But it draws up the price of minifigures, which is kind of good for collectors, I guess.
Yeah, and good for their bottom line.
Yeah, like for example, I have a very extensive minifigure collection. I own all of the Marvel sets, so I have all the Marvel minifigures. I also have like the collector from San Diego Comic Con last year. That was like $100 for me to get, and that was a really good deal on that one. I have the Unikitty from San Diego Comic Con last year, which was also $100, but also a really good deal. Lego minifigures is a rough business I don't want to get myself into.
Yeah.
I just have a lot of really cool sets. I'm done with Lego now. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did Sam find his?
I can't pull up the Skype history to go long enough back to remember what I was talking about. So you go, and I will try to think of...
Okay, so the one I'm going to start off with is something that I don't necessarily collect overtly, but I somehow ended up with a collection of them, and that's Paper Mask. I don't know if if you go to events and stuff like that, they sometimes give you, like, those masks you can put on, and they'll give you, like, the funny hats. So, like, I've done, like, trade shows, the very popular ones tend to be Goku's hair.
Okay.
And between work, don't ask why work, birthday parties and events, I have gotten masks of all four Ninja Turtles, Iron Man, the Hulk, Power Rangers, the Ridger. I have the Goku hair, Okami. I have three of the Pokemon X and Y starter hats, Froakie, Finicky,
and Chespin.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. We really need to know who the water one is, really. And it's one of those weird things, because I tend to just dump them on my computer desk when I get them. And I started to notice this because I brought some home the other day, and I'm like, why do I have so many of these? Because I have Michelangelo, I have Donatello, I have Raphael, I have the little mask of them, and then I have like an actual Michelangelo mask I got when I went to the Ninja Turtles premiere. I have an actual Ridger mask, like one of those Domino masks that's purple, and then it's a bunch of paper masks, and I'm like, I don't know when this started or how, but the fact that I have so many of them really freaks me out. So what I was thinking of doing is, like how people have like the Mantu in their house, well, I assume nobody in current day, but the Mantu in their house where they have like the animal mounted, I'm thinking of just like mounting a bunch of these heads on my wall.
You have to buy like the $50 plaques to do it, so it needs to be a super nice plaque and then a little like paper mask for my kid's birthday
party.
Yeah,
that's not
going
to happen. Somewhat related, I guess. I recently got into framing artwork,
mm-hmm.
which is not something I did before. You did posters and you taped it to your wall, you were good to go. But I started to get actual artwork that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Let me guess. Is it video game and movie themed? All of it. That's how mine was.
No. It's video game and comic book.
Well, okay, whatever. That counts.
Well, it doesn't count because none of the comic books are movie themed.
Is there such a thing anymore?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of them is actually both of my the two comic book ones are actually one's a actual comic book poster. I don't. Okay, one of my other things, and this goes.
This is a great like audio podcast, by the way, describing posters on your wall.
Oh, I was going to describe the poster. I was going to describe one of my terrible habits is I tend to pick up anything I get for free. So one of my posters is actually just like one of the Store Display posters of a comic book event that happened like 10 years ago. It's like the coming soon poster, and this is I'm really backwards at time. I was getting into them, and I was like, I don't know the size of any of these things. So I went to like Target, and I just bought a bunch of random frames, and then I just went through my collection and found posters that fit into them.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Yes, that is not the recommended way to do that.
They aren't like super cheap either. So,
well, I mean, if you go to Target, you can get them right at like $15 or so.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, is that I got two that didn't fit anything I had. I went through an exhaustive amount of stuff, so I ended up having to buy artwork to fit the frames, and that's how I got the video game ones. Because it sucks that there isn't a uniform size going just because I'm jumping all over the page.
Oh, I feel that.
A2, right? That's the poster size? I feel like that's a uniform poster size because we were just looking at this the other day. But I'll let you
finish. I mean, it's sort of it, but other people will go out and do weird things or do horizontal, like portrait versus landscape, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that
like
would be the same.
You can just turn a frame sideways.
Yeah,
right?
You can turn the
frame
sideways.
That's easy. Like, people always want to change the standard or something or make their own.
Yeah, I went to the Batman versus Superman teaser event that they had in March, and they gave you two posters. And you would think they give you movie-sized posters, but they don't. They give you posters that are 13 by 19. Huh. And 13 by 19 isn't a typical size. I think most movie posters are the actual like movie posters.
Like what, 11 by 17?
Like 18 by the 18 by 28, okay. Like the actual ones.
Yeah, 13 by 9 is like just a little bigger than a normal sheet of paper.
Yeah, well, it's bigger than it's
like two of them, but yeah.
Yeah, it would be about that. But yeah, and what happens is most frames, like the most popular size tends to be 12 by 18. So that's too small. And then the next size up is, I think it's like 16 by 20. And that's too big. Buy a custom frame for this is.
How big are they? Like the ones in there.
Yeah. It's also a weird aspect ratio, 16 by 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got rid of that for a reason.
Well, I mean, I think there's I think they just danger. So I've had these two posters for like for 3 months now, I guess, and I've been looking for frames for them. But it's like $30 to buy frames for them, and this is I don't know if either one of you hang up artwork. Sam's not with us right now.
Sorry, we were talking about poster sizes.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because the other thing is somebody complained to me because I don't buy the same, I hate having the same frame.
Uh-huh. Oh.
So I have a bunch of different
frames.
Oh,
that's so weird. Yeah, no, I want all of my frames to be the exact same color.
Yeah, I'm with Sam.
That would bug me a lot if they're all different frames.
Oh, my gosh, that you folks would hate my, I have a green frame. I have a, like, a cherry wooden one. I have
an oak
wooden one.
Do they match the poster types at least?
They match, yeah.
Like, they're green in the poster? That's a little better. Man, okay.
Yeah. That would still bother me, but I could understand why, at least now.
I'm trying to find the posters we have.
To me, I don't like having the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I went, like, the green one was a mistake. If anything, I'm going to stick to, like, the back and the wooden
one. Is that on the Hulk?
Subtle ones?
No, it's actually, I mean, it doesn't really work, but I'm going with it. And that's the thing, because it's really hard to match green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny that works. And it does work, because I had, like, two video games on. I have one that's Pit and one Zink from video games. Mm. And I had the Zink in the other frame. Okay, I'm not going to explain that, because you can't see me, so that doesn't serve anybody any good. Just know that when it comes to collectibles, I'm really terrible at doing anything properly. But I ended up collecting a bunch of random nonsense. And if you do have any recommendations for actual good movie, for actual frames, let me know.
I just get mine from Target, but I buy all black frames. It's not like a lunatic buying orange and green and whatever else you do.
Well, the Target ones are really nice, but they also come in very standard sizes. Like, they come in, and the other thing I wanted, because I tried to get them at Kmart. Kmart has the really crappy ones that have the plastic instead of, like, a glass.
Yeah, I've used those before, too, but I switched them out. Walmart does that here, but it's the same thing. Yeah, you, like, slide the edge into the little black piece.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Nope, that's the worst.
It just even looks chintzy if when you get close to it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, so our posters include, like, a bunch of, I guess, Etsy movie posters. So they're kind of artsier versions
those are
of
pretty
movies
cool.
That we like. We need to, yeah, I linked them to Skype, which I know is great for a podcast, but.
I have a couple like that, actually, too, Sam. Only a couple, like a Zelda one that's, I think, a pretty popular art.
Which games and movies and stuff. And the cool thing I want to talk about was Shelby was very big into Pokemon cards growing up, so she has, like, almost all first run.
Oh, wait, that's
my
time
to
right?
Continue, Sam, I'm sorry.
You who has the picture of you throwing all the Pokemon cards up at the fan?
Those are Yu-Gi-Oh,
or Yu-Gi-Oh cards,
cards,
but
whatever. Those are not the same cards. I would not throw Pokemon
no, they're not
cards at
the
ceiling fan. But
you didn't throw Yu-Gi-Oh cards up?
But yeah,
how disrespectful!
It's fine. It's just Yu-Gi-Oh. It's fine. I played that game way later than I should have in life, too. Like up until about 3 or 4 years ago. It's kind of sad. But the point I was trying to get at was Shelby was very big into Pokemon cards growing up, and she had, like, at some point had all of the, like, first print run of the original ones. So she dug up her binder, and we found those, and we are making a poster out of all of the original Pokemon cards. We're only missing, like, a handful of them at this point, just because they've gotten lost over the years. But that is, like, our current poster for house project in the nerd room. But we cannot find a frame big enough to hold all the Pokemon cards at once. That don't have, like, weird gaps in the frame.
Have you looked into how expensive custom frames are?
Very, yeah. It's like $200 for a custom-sized frame.
Know,
oh, God.
I did not know there were so many custom frame shots in New York City. And you don't notice it because you don't look for it. And then
right.
I went looking, and there's, like, one in every other corner. I'm like, wow, where did these all come from? And I went into one, and I'm like, how much is it? They're like, yeah, at base it's like 50. I'm like, okay, it's $50 just to kind of get started
here.
Yeah.
And then do like wait till you need to hang up a jersey or something. And we're trying to hang up a Texans jersey, and that's like a $90 frame for a special jersey frame.
That's like almost as much as the jersey in some cases, or more.
It's like half the price of the jersey, but yeah.
It depends on what
you buy,
team you're going
for. Yeah, if you buy the, I guess that's true. If you buy the official jerseys, they get pretty expensive, which is also ridiculous, the price of football jerseys. Anyway.
Also true. At least you're getting quality like fabric and stuff out of it.
Sure.
Do you collect jerseys, or do you just have one that you want to frame?
I mean, it's a J.J. Watt jersey. You know, we live in Houston and all, so that makes sense. yeah, we want to frame that one, but we need to get Rangers.
Yeah, I don't have an inclination to frame any of my jerseys. Granted, I only have two, and they're both Bruins jerseys. I live in Boston. My dad's also Canadian, so like it's kind of a deal for us. But I don't have an inclination to frame them. But I'm also not as big into sports as perhaps most people.
I'm not really in. I was going to say I never got the notion of framing jerseys, but I can't criticize people because I assume people would think it's weird to frame comic book covers, which I don't do, but I know people who frame comic book covers.
All right, then what wrestler shirts do you have? Is that how that works?
I actually own no wrestling shirts.
Huh.
What do wrestling people collect?
Actually,
I really like Macho Man Randy Savage, what does the standard wrestling person?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I was gonna
action
say,
beast.
I actually don't collect anything wrestling related. I have some DVDs, but I collect DVDs in general, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
My beef with wrestling chairs is like, there's a lot of good ones, but they've gotten so gaudy because they have a really nice front design and then they'll have like this terrible text on the back. And I'm okay with writing on the front, but I feel like if you have both, it's just really terrible. Like, I don't know many shirts that are great with writing on the front and back. As a sec, I'm the only one here who has a desk, right?
I have
a desk job.
Oh, not a desk job.
Do you have
I have a desk, but
we have three computers on the table, so we don't even really have a desk.
I was going to ask if you have anything, because what I started to collect at my desk is I have a bunch of, because I go to Midtown Comics every Wednesday during lunch because I got to get my comic books. So I started to collect stuff there. So I have this Superman standee thingy, and it has like a little dry erase board. So like, I don't do it anymore. I used to write a little message on it every day. Now I update it like once a week.
So are you the nerdiest person at your work as far as stuff on your desk?
Oh, big time. I have.
That's right.
My
I
desk.
Just now remember where you work, so that probably also plays a small factor in it.
Yeah, I've also it also helps. And this is gonna sound terrible, but anyway, it also helps that I work with a bunch of females, and they are much older. They have their things, but they don't tend to be as nerdy or as overt as guys tend to be when they have their nerdiness.
Yeah.
So what is
like my
yeah. What's on
my desk? It has the Superman thing, and then it has a collection of DC figures. There's Batman, Superman, Robin, Bane, Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern, and the Flash.
I can name all those comic book characters, so far not too bad.
I have a random Waluigi figure.
Yes.
I have a...
Do you hide it around your desk? That's what I would do. I'd hide it around the office, honestly, actually.
I don't want to lose my Waluigi. No, because...
And then hide a little voice like recorder that just goes, wah, when you pick it up.
Yeah, but it makes me sad that nobody he works with would understand the brilliance of hiding a Waluigi around the office.
Right?
Like, that joke wouldn't play, and that's sad.
I think there's one or two people in my office who would get it, but that's a very minor sub. Okay, just because nobody at my job listens to this, really. there are people at my job who don't watch movies, and like we moved recently, and one of the things we had where we were going to vote for what we were going to name our printers and what we were going to name our conference rooms, and one of the suggestions was to name our printers after fictional robots. Some people didn't vote for it because they didn't know any of the characters.
Well, that's too bad for
they
them.
Didn't watch. Yeah, they didn't watch Short Circuit. They didn't know Johnny Five. They didn't know the T-100.
Okay, I was about to say, I didn't know the first two, but okay. I know the Terminator.
Short Circuit, Johnny Five from Short Circuit. You know, there's also R2-D2,
yep, okay.
C-3PO. Rosie from the Jetson.
Sure.
How could they not even know that one? Were they just like, what do they do for fun? Hit each other?
They what? Sports. But yeah, and that it got passed on. But yeah, a lot of this stuff. There's some people who come to my desk and they notice what I have, and there's other people like, just incidentally, I used to put out, and don't ask why, I used to put out coloring pages and crayons at my desk. For anybody who wants to stop by and take a break from working to color real quick. And one of the first ones I did, and this is why I decided not to do video game ones anymore, was I did Mario and Bowser. And nobody knew what Bowser was.
Please say you saved that picture.
I think it might be on my old phone, But like, the person hired Bowser and he was like purple.
He was just doing his favorite alt skin from Smash.
So that should have been enough incentive to keep doing that, because that's amazing. You should go back to putting out coloring books that nobody understands.
I would if I could, but I don't have, like, the reason I used to do it is because my desk used to be one of the front-facing ones. Like, it was one of the desks you had to pass by to get to the bathroom, and it was one of the side entrances. So I used it because people have to. Now I'm in the back of the office. Nobody really has to pass by my desk, so there's no reason to stop buying color anymore. So
I'd do it.
That's that. Oh, I okay. Just again, since I'm talking about my desk, I have crayons.
Nice.
And I have Play-Doh at my desk.
Nice.
And I bought Play-Doh because every month we have the VP of our division is very big into team bonding. So every month we have something called Food and Fun, which is, you know, we have something like we're going bowling sometime this month. And last month we did a pizza party. And she always brings the food. So I'm like, I'm going to bring the fun. So I went to Kmart and bought a bunch of Play-Doh. And I'm like, we'll mess around with this. And then I got back to my desk. I don't play with Play-Doh at home, so I can't do anything. So it's just sitting there if you want to mess around with it. Which makes me great when people bring their kids to work.
Nice. That's a plus, honestly. Yeah, that gives you that niche in your office.
So what does everybody else have on their desks?
At work? it's really sad. Not sad, but a lot of people have stuff that we do in the field. So they'll have...
I mean, that makes sense, at least.
Yeah, it makes sense. I feel bad, because I actually did take one, and I was going to... I honestly feel bad. I actually took it because it was a free frame, and I felt bad because like, the picture's very nice, but I'm like, I just took you for the frame.
All
right. Even though it's one of the... It's a nice frame, but it's one of those really awful ones, because going back to Dan's point, it's one of those... It's wired, so you can't actually hang it in any direction, but which it's oriented.
Mm.
Yeah.
You got a couple of those.
So, yeah. Okay, I've talked enough. Has Sam figured out what he collects yet?
I was saying the Pokemon cards. I think that was what I was thinking of whenever I thought
which
of
which goes back to me again. I collect too many things.
Yes, go ahead.
I also used to play the trading card game for a long period of time and still keep up with it. I'm actually pending on becoming a Pokemon professor right now. We'll see how
that
goes.
No, you're going to have to explain that. You're going to have to go back and explain what a Pokemon professor is.
Okay. It was a little different back about 6 years ago when I played a lot more. But a Pokemon professor was strictly in the trading card game. It was the people who ran and organized the events and also judges were considered Pokemon professors. And you have to be 18 or older, which is still true. But now they have different sects because they also have the video game championships involved in it. So the video game championships and the trading card games both have their own professors, which are basically like judges. But they also are conclusive to like people who organize events and people who hold events. So there's three levels of them. There's the judges, the holding the events, and the like kind of like going to events, if that makes sense in any like difference there.
Sure. Where do you live again that you have like enough people doing this to do that? Because I feel like...
Just outside Boston. It's like a pretty suburban area. There's a lot of cities and like townships that have that. Like,
gotcha.
The Northeast U.S., back about 6 years ago, I'm pretty sure it's still the same, even though I've lost contact with a lot of people. The Northeast United States used to be like the metagame, basically, for the trading card game. We actually would like break tournament metagames and like set what the standard for decks were because we were so prominent and had a lot of prolific people here. I think it's a little less so, but now it's still true to some degree in the trading card game. So it was a fun experience because you'd like play with all the best people and you wouldn't feel bad if you did poorly because of that. But I'm pending on being a professor for the video game championships now because the trading card game I can't invest enough time into. There's a lot of traveling involved in that as opposed to the video game championship.
I was about to say, as opposed to the amount of time you have to invest in the video game to become good, which is
it's more like hours. It's more like I play the video game still, whereas I only follow the trading card game. I don't still collect them as avidly. So it's that aspect in that I can play on my computer or I still play on the games, which I do. I don't want to spend as much money on the trading card game anymore because I have too many other interests. And it's also because the trading card game has lots of tournaments. For any given like city or state championships, they'll have like 3 weeks that it can happen, so you can travel anywhere between, like, the first one you could go into your state, maybe the second one you still have some in your state, for the third one you could have some in another state, so you'd have to travel a lot, whereas the video game championships have only kind of just one weekend for one event. So it's less traveling, and it's less events to have to go to and judge and stuff. And also, I'm still currently playing versus watching.
But are you a professor? You are a professor? Or are you applying to be a Pokemon professor?
I applied last week, and my application is still pending.
What is the application process?
You have to know the rules of the game, and then you also have to know their, like, guidelines for, like, honesty and, like, candor and, like, presenting yourself and stuff like that. Respect for the game, respect for the people, because it is geared towards kids, so you have to know, like, their policy.
That makes sense. Do you get a jacket or, like, a badge or something?
I don't know what it is currently. You used to get, like, just a badge, basically, and then you get certain rights. Like, it used to be that if you're a professor, you were kind of like the proctor for events, and it was kind of all in one. Now it's separate, so if you're a judge, it's a little less than if you're running the events, where you get all, like, the kits and stuff to set up the events and go to them and stuff. You get kind of like the name tag, and you get put into their system and stuff.
Hmm. Well, now I know.
So, pending on Pokemon Professor, but I have a pretty sizable Pokemon card collection that was up until about 6 years ago, five or six years ago when I stopped playing, which was up until about, like, the end of the Diamond and Pearl saga, which was the fourth generation. We're on six now, for those who aren't Pokemon fans. I still follow the game avidly, but I collected a lot in the fourth generation, so I have a lot of really cool collections. I have, that's when they had shiny Pokemon cards, and shinies in the games are really rare, so I have a lot of those. I have a lot of, like, these secret reprints that they did. They did reprints of the original Charmander, Charmeleon, and Charizard from the base set, and I have three of each of those, which are quite rare, but not as rare as the original Charizard, but still very rare.
So what is an original set of Pokemon cards worth right now?
To be honest, Pokemon cards never were as big as Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic as far as selling goes. Even nowadays, the base set Charizard only goes for a couple hundred dollars, whereas some of the top Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards can go for thousands of dollars. And it's just, I think, because they cater to the fan base of, like, kids, and kids don't want to be, like, so integrated in that. They just want most of the cards. They don't want to have, like, that one kid who has the only Charizard that's in, like, the state or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or, like, Magic the Gathering cards that can get, like, thousands of dollars per card.
Right, so they want people to always have access to the cards, so they don't tend to sell for as much. But still, when you get, like, a current, if you're in, like, the pre-release and you get, like, some of the cards before the set is officially released on store shelves, and you get some of the rarer cards in the pre-release, those can go for, like, $30 or $40, like, the next week or that day. Which is not bad if you're not planning on using it, or if it's no use, it's just a very rare card. So I have a big binder that's not actually worth too much now, but I'm going to wait until I'm much, much older when it will actually be worth stuff. Kind of like the base set. You still see people who find base set boxes just left in warehouses and stuff. And the base set is now almost 20 years old. I'm going to wait much longer before I do anything with my collection.
I guess that does make sense that it's almost 20 years old. I feel older now. I didn't think about that. I think it's funny that one of the cards we're missing is a Machamp, which is the one you got in, like, the first deck that they gave out. So everybody in the world has a Machamp, but we can't find the one we have.
When we're off of the podcast, I'll tell you some interesting facts about some of the, like, misprints, too, because I was talking with somebody about that on Reddit the other day. It's not really conducive to podcast, and it's kind of a long story, so I'll tell you after.
Okay.
I'll tell you after on the exclusive hotline, call 9800.
Yeah, on the bonus podcast.
So what else do we have to talk about?
I don't collect anything now that I'm thinking about it. Like, other than those Pokemon cards and those posters, that's kind of it.
And we've already, Dan and I had a podcast on Amiibo before, which are going strong.
Still going
even
strong.
Though I am not a avid collector. I get what I want and move on.
Dan, do you have all of the Amiibo?
No, I don't. You know, does Dan?
I'm only missing six that are out right now.
Oh, do you have the Golden Mario?
Six.
I don't have the Golden. I'm not going for the Mario series, actually, so I'm missing a little bit more than six. I'm only going for the Smash Bros. Series. I have all the Splatoon ones, which are somewhat hard to get. The only ones I'm missing are Jigglypuff, Greninja, Robin. Robin's going to be very hard to find. Rosalina, because it's stupid hard to find. Meta Knight and Lucario.
I thought I sold you my Rosalina. Who did I sell my Rosalina to?
You sold me your Shulk.
Oh, you should have told me. I just saw my Jigglypuff.
Oh, no. If you have any of those six, I'm in the market still.
Yeah, I know you want to... No, somebody carrying my DDD. I have to send that out.
Already.
Oh, no, I was just saying the ones that I have.
I think you people are crazy about your amiibos. My friend found a gold Mario, like, in a Walmart in between Houston and Austin when he was driving home. He decided to stop just to check for a gold Mario, or, like, check for amiibos or whatever, because that's the kind of thing that he does now. And it was, like, hidden away in the toy aisle behind some foam sword, like, tucked under the side of the aisles under a bunch of stuff.
You know what happens? So some people save that for later, I bet.
Yeah, that's what he thought about that. And then he cares about amiibos enough to where he was digging through the other sections of the toy aisle to try to find amiibos.
That's what I was going to ask, because I get somebody hiding it. I don't get somebody finding it.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. See,
it should feel impressive. Like somebody,
it's like somebody going, what would I do in this situation?
Pretty much.
I know. I just in another section behind
that's
him.
I'm impressed with him. I think that has more sentimental value to him now because of that.
That's probably true. Yeah, he was very proud of that story. And sure, I guess it's impressive in a way, but it also lets me know how crazy you people are about amiibos.
Yeah,
some people are anyway.
How crazy I am. It's the thing. I am not actually that crazy about amiibo compared to my other collections. I have not bought an amiibo so far for any more than double
its... In the last 24 hours, it's a new record.
I have not bought an amiibo for any more than double what it's actually worth, which I think
is... No,
I think what do amiibos go for? What are they worth?
$13. They can go for as much as... I think people sell them for like $50 to $75.
Exactly. So I'm doing pretty good for myself. The most I spent on an amiibo was $23. Not honestly that bad.
And I am in a completely different boat than most of the country, the most of the world, because I am 20 minutes from the Nintendo World Store. I don't amiibo hunt. I amiibo fish when I'm bored.
Yep.
And I have not paid anything over market value for any of them. A few of them I've gotten on discount, actually, between Best Buy's Gamer Club and the Toys R Us sale they had at the start of the amiibo craze.
So do they tier amiibo prices? Like, do they make the ones that are going to be more? Okay, so it's all $13 no matter what?
Nowadays, you can find Mario's and Donkey Kong's for $8, though. In, like...
Yeah, you can find the common ones, as people call them, for cheaper.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not tiered, but they also had to get a Splatoon 3-pack. Which was, you had to buy in order to get a certain amiibo, because they don't sell him so ill.
Ah.
But there's no tier pricing, which I am happy for, because people would gouge their eyes out as a tier.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Have y'all ever heard of a Tactics? I used to have those, now I'm thinking about it. They're like, I think they changed the name to HeroClix or something later on, but they're these little Star Wars figure things that you slide around on a table and shoot at each other.
Yeah, HeroClix are pretty cool. I never got into it because it's another money.
Do they still exist?
I can't get to, but...
Yeah. I know they do. I know they're big in comic books.
Yeah.
I think I have... Like, sometimes you'll get them with, you'll get them with, like, a DVD or a Blu-ray. Like, I have a Green Lantern one, and I think a few others.
Oh, HeroClix looks like something else.
Oh, okay.
Now that I'm looking
at
it.
Yeah, I have HeroClix. I have a few minifigs from a bunch of stuff. I have random Mega Blocks from Call of Duty, SpongeBob, and Assassin's Creed.
I thought you hated SpongeBob. I thought you told me this last time.
I do, but I absolutely hate SpongeBob, and that's something we can discuss at another podcast.
At least get the SpongeBob Legos before they went out of stock.
Well, I was going to say, this goes back to my habit of collecting anything that people give me for free.
Yeah.
And you walk around Comic-Con, and people hand you stuff.
It's true.
And it's like... Okay, I'll take it. And you get home, it's like, why do I have this? What am I going
to
do with this?
Definitely applicable to, like, someone like me who goes to PAX East and stuff like that. And, like, GDC last year, I got a lot of free random junk stuff. I don't know. I have a lot of pins, because last year at PAX, or this past year, they did a pin collecting thing. They recently have done it, but last year was especially big. I got a bunch from GDC that were kind of cool. Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't collect them. But I have the Club Nintendo pins from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I have those, too.
And then I got the Super Mario 30th set pins that they gave out during the E3 event.
Yeah, those are cool.
Where do y'all put all this stuff?
That's part of the reason why I hate connecting this stuff. I don't.
I'm not going to send. It's a good thing we're not having a video podcast because you'd see my gross room and how bad it is.
I think you should attach Dan's pictures to the
next episode of Hoarders.
If you guys want, I'll put a I'll put my Skype on video after the call, and you can see it.
Okay.
But most of my stuff, because I have a very ancient at this point computer desk. So my computer desk still has like the level above my actual like monitor. So like my top of it is just filled with a bunch of junk. Like it has, for some reason, I collect all my old cell phones. So I have like the last 10 years of cell phones, which is like
how old is your cell phone collection go back to?
My oldest cell phone I think has a flip phone. It's an LG, I think it's a chocolate, so this is about...
I used to have a chocolate, too. Yo, chocolate bros. That's
so this is like 2008 or something?
I had Sprint. We couldn't get those. I had the one that was like a phone on one side and then a smaller phone on the other side.
I've never seen
that. I called it a flip phone. I don't even remember the name of it now, but it came in a giant battery case, and one side was a little bitty screen for like texting, and the other side was a big screen for like media and stuff.
Like the Envy or whatever.
It was not quite
that.
I'll try
too.
To find the picture of it.
But yeah,
it was great because the whole case was a battery, and the battery life would last like 2 or 3 weeks if you only used the little side.
Back in the good old days.
Yeah, so then there's a bunch. Oh, okay, not a bunch. I have 3 stuffed animals. I have a graduation bear I got from high school. I have an Abu.
What's your bear's name? Did you name it?
I don't name my stuffed animal. I'm not that person. Then I have amiibos, and then I have my King Hippo crown.
Oh, cool.
And this goes back to my the little Mac amiibo is that there isn't a ton of Punch Out stuff. So anything they've made, I've collected. And there was like a Punch Out championship kit they had a few years ago. And it came with a Dr. Lewis chocolate bar. It came with King Hippo boxer and the crown.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing pictures of that, actually. It's pretty cool.
Yes. I have Mario and Luigi figures that my friends got me. The pins. One of the new things I'm starting to collect is the vinyls from Mondo.
Oh.
So I have 2 Batman animated vinyls
from Mondo. Is this vinyl record?
Yeah. Okay. And then I want to get the Superman the Animated Series one that they're going to debut at San Diego Comic-Con. I got this really cool gift from my friend for my birthday this year. He got me like original artwork from Batman Returns.
That's pretty cool.
Which one's Batman Returns?
The second one, Penguin and Catwoman.
Okay. They all get stuck in my head with the subtitles.
And then my random assortment of various I bought like 4 video game special editions over the year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does anyone have special edition collections? I have a fair amount of those.
I don't. I do have a signed picture from the Bastion guy somewhere. Because that was like a game I liked enough to want a signed picture of it, but that's the only artwork thing like that I have.
I'm surprised you have no like, type of Halo.
I have not met the Halo people. That might be something I do at RTX, but I don't know. I didn't get the, like,
secret.
Do y'all have the plastic Master Chief helmet?
Oh, Sam.
Yep.
One of the guy who made the animation for the teabag in Halo.
Okay. Yep.
He is a professor at the school I just graduated from.
That's fantastic.
Right?
You should get him to sign a GIF and then like
get him to sign a bag of
teabags. No, you know those pictures where you look at them from one direction and then you look at them from the other direction and they're like holographic things that change based on what angle you're looking at it. Get one of those that's the teabagging animation and then have him sign it.
That would be great.
And then
give
that to me for my birthday.
He's not, like, famous enough for it to be like that, and he's a really cool guy. He wouldn't go for that, because I don't know him very well. But, yeah,
that's
a little Halo paraphernalia thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. I also have a bunch of stuff I've collected over the year from friends. Like, one of my... I have a bunch of mugs. I don't use mugs at all.
Me neither.
But one of my friends... 20. Oh, I'm not going to age him, even though we're the same age. But I guess a few years ago, for his birthday, his girlfriend, now wife, printed off mugs with him holding up like 300 on one side. So that's
300?
Up there. Yeah.
Do you have a mug of a picture of your friend holding up the movie 300?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. That's like super meta.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I have 3 pair of cat ears from Super Mario 3D World.
Nice.
I have a fag from Mario Kart 8.
That's pretty cool. Do you have the blue shell special edition?
No.
That's pretty cool. I would have gotten that if I was in New York.
I think the only, like, video game collector's things I have are the stuff that comes default with the games and you buy them anyway. So, like, the map that came in the Skyrim box, and then the soundtrack that came with The Witcher, and then the map that came with The Witcher, and that's about it. And those are
related to that. That's actually one of the only reasons I own Halo Reach, is because the collector's edition, which was really cool, like the really big collector's edition that came with the figures, that was marked down to like $60 at a Best Buy near me, which is the same price as the game normally. So I got it, and I was like, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's insane. It's kind of funny. I mean, I guess it is a bit of a crapshoot, but I've seen special editions at Toys R Us and Best Buy, and Walmart does this too. Like, if you wait a few months, they get marked down huge, because the market is only there for like the first week. Nobody buys it after that, so they have to get rid of it. Like, I saw there was is it Arkham City? They came with like the giant Batarang?
I think so.
And I saw that for like $30, and I texted my friends, talked me out of buying this. They're like, you already own the game and you beat it. I'm like, but I want it so much.
Yeah, I'll actually, there's a Best Buy near the mall and I used to work at, and near where my current work is. I'll sometimes, if I ever need to go into Best Buy, every time I need to go into Best Buy, I'll always check the video game section just in case they have cool special editions that are, like, unused.
Do they still make those, or did that kind of go out of style?
A little bit. There was a big period around like 2009 to like 2012 where it was big, and I got a lot of them from that era for games that I mostly wanted to play, but some that were like a little out of my reach. But it's all because they were marked down to like $30. $30 for the game plus some physical merchandise is actually really worth it.
Oh, okay. Somewhat related to this, do you ever buy games that you don't necessarily have intentions of paying just because they're cheap?
Yes, yeah, Steam sales.
About to say the Steam sales count. Other than that, no. And I always intend to play them, but I've definitely bought games and never even bothered installing them. Yep. Like, I have Tomb Raider, and you've yet to touch Tomb Raider, and I've had that since the last Steam sale, like the one before this year's Steam sale.
Yeah, so, see, the good thing about those games is, though, it's not contributing to a physical collection, which is kind of good.
Yeah, but that's also the problem, because I don't look at my Steam backlog as a backlog, because I don't have to see it.
Yeah.
Where, like, I could look around and be like, oh, that game's not open, that game's not open, that game's not open. I should at least open them.
Have you ever gotten, played a game to where you were, this is not really related, but have you ever played a game to where you were about, like, 15 minutes or 30 minutes from the end of the game and then quit? Because that's happened to me on multiple occasions, where I've gone like 2 or 3 years without finishing a game, and then come back to find that I was only 15 minutes from finishing it.
The most infamous for me, and this is the opposite reason, is Paper Mario 1,000 Years.
No!
Door.
I just started that a week ago.
I got to the 1,000 Year Door, and I'm like, I'm going to take a break because I don't want this game to end. And we're going on like 11 years strong with me not making sure that game.
Nice.
Wait, still haven't beaten it?
I can't beat it now. Well, I would have to start over because I know I'm gonna have that GameCube memory.
Oh, Earl. Oh,
I know. It was a pain in the ass, but yeah, there are games that I don't want to end. So I try to prolong it as much as possible.
That's the perfect one. That's my favorite game of all time.
I did that with the TV show Jericho. I'm on the second to last episode of Jericho, and I will never finish that TV show. I also did that with...
Because then it never ended.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of like... I've started out with a few shows where I started, and then I learned that there's no ending to it, so I stopped. But, with Bully, I did finish Bully, but I finished it like 4 years afterward. I was at the final, like, boss fight with the kid in the rafters. And then Lollipop Chainsaw, I was also on the final... Which, that game's just terrible. I was stuck in the last boss fight of that one for a long time. I bought that game launch day. I was probably like one of 5 people to do so, but
somebody was horny.
Yeah, I was gonna say 5 not creeper people.
Sure.
5 people who weren't like out just for the boobses.
I thought it looked funny. I thought it was gonna be great, but I was very wrong.
He makes decent but rough games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now that we're pretty much not talking about what we collect anymore.
I think I'm out of collections.
Start wrapping.
Yeah,
I think it's time we start wrapping. Ninja, rat.
Wait, I have one more collection. I have a collection of two diplomas because I graduated high school and then college. Does that count? Actually, technically, I have three diplomas because I got two from high school. What up?
Why did you get two from high school?
Because I was in a tech program as well as an academic program, so I have, like, a technologic high diploma. And also,
are you working for a game company yet? Are you?
I can't really disclose too much about it, but...
My bad. Nope, go ahead. We need to stop. Cool.
I'm on a mod project for... Actually, shameless plug. I'm on a mod project for Fallout Lone Star. It's a pretty cool mod project. Check it out. That's the one I can't talk about.
Will do. All right. I, too, have a degree, but mine is worthless, and I don't even know where the actual thing is.
Yeah, I mean, mine is pretty much worthless, too. But, I mean, I don't even know... People don't... Yeah, anyhow... we will be back someday soon.
Tomorrow.
Either talking of, well, we won't say that either because I'm not going to make any promises and then not show up again for 2 months. Actually, I think we've been 3 months here, but that's that. Check out the website, which has also been suffering from the lack of content. That's on me. It's been a hectic summer.
It's all right. It's been a good season. It'll fill
up. Yeah, I'm going to PAX, which I'm excited for, my first PAX.
Nice.
So hopefully we get coverage of that, even though technically I'm going on my own time, so I'm going to have fun.
I got my friend in RTX as a camera guy, so we might be able to do some things there.
Yay.
Not that anything.
So, we should be back in about a week, two weeks, I should say, because San Diego Comic-Con is coming up, and there should be big news. Well, we already know that DC is going to have a huge presence there. Marvel's not going to be there, which is kind of disappointing. Who else is going to be? Star Wars is going to be there. Paramount's going to be there. So we'll probably hear more about the new Star Trek film. More about...
Oh, yeah, I guess there is another one of those, isn't there?
Yes, they just started filming this week.
Oh, nice.
I did not hear about that.
What is it, Star Trek Beyond?
I
don't think they had a subtitle yet, like, firmly.
No, it's Beyond. Justin...
Oh, is that just called Star Trek 3? They're just going to reset the whole numbering system?
Well, I mean, they didn't number them.
Oh, I know, I was joking.
That one was called...
Into Darkness, right?
Yeah. And then we actually got the official title for Guardians of the Galaxy with Volume 2, which is actually kind of neat.
Yeah.
It appears into the whole music
thing. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so yes, we'll be back to talk about San Diego Comic-Con and any news that we've missed since then. Maybe we'll catch up on E3. Who knows? Actually, it would be interesting, because by that point, I think the Shenmue 3 Kickstarter will be done, and I'm really curious to see how that all shakes out. So... For Sam, Dan, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rock.
Yep.
Yeehaw!
Hey.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town. Chick that used to dance a lot, every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town. 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 Spread the word. Blood will spill. And if the boys want to fight, you better let them. That jukebox in the corner blasting out my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer. It won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again.